Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Welcome into the day two, day three Patriots Beat Patriots Daily crossover episode. I'm Alex Barth with Taylor Kyles, Mike Cadlick, and Brian Hines here to recap day two of the draft, look ahead to day three. Gentlemen, we're going to start here. Today is the day Joe Milton will be drafted into the NFL. So I want everybody's thoughts in depth on the three best landing spots for Joe Milton. Where are you thinking? No, we'll do that later.
So excited for you, Alex. It's a really big day for you and your family.
I hope it's not all his
call your shot. You called Michael Penix. Where's Joe Milton going?
I think he goes top 150.
Okay.
So what team?
A lucky team. I don't know.
I have Steelers for some reason. I
could see Steelers. It. I think like Steelers, Giants, honestly, Send him to the Broncos. Let's go, baby.
Rattler slipping is kind of wild to me. I don't know.
I do want to get to that, but it's not Joe Milton beat. It's not Joe Milton daily. The Patriots did make two picks last night. One wide receiver, Jalen Polk. There is no L. Polk, not Polk. I learned that last night. Jalen Polk. And offensive tackle, Caden Wallace, who apparently is a left tackle. We can get into that. But I guess first on Polk, a lot of people saw that as a reach. This is the day of the year where I have to start hammering this. Draft projections are great until the draft happens and you throw them out the window. Mm-hmm. I liken it to if you're planning to go for a drive tomorrow, right? So you check the weather the night before and it says it's going to be sunny. You're like, great, I'm going to drive with the top down. I got a convertible, I'm going to drive with the top down. Then you get outside and it's raining. Are you still going to drive with the top down because the weather said last night that it was sunny? That's what draft projections are. The Patriots, Polk, in terms of projections, is not that much of a reach. But the reality is, if you like your guy, and there was this weird run on wide receivers, we can talk about what happened with A.D. Mitchell, but Polk was among the best wide receivers on the board. They wanted a receiver clearly with their second pick. We know they were trying to trade back up the night before into the first for a receiver. Polk was their guy. They took him. So I like where they took him as the player. I think he's a good complementary option. I know they have a lot of those guys, but I think the idea is, you know, he's not, and these are lofty, but I'm saying for the setup, he's not Jamar Chase, but can he be T. Higgins? And next year, whether it's through a trade, whether it's in the draft, you get your T. Higgins, big physical guy, good catch radius, deep ball receiver. He's a great fit specifically with Drake May, which I think is important. I do wonder what this means for the future of Juju Smith-Schuster, because I think there's some overlap there. But I think he could also potentially slide into the Devontae Parker role. Depends how they want to use him. Very multiple player. Your guys' thoughts, Taylor, we'll start with you.
What, do we think that Juju's going to be on this team? Like, I know that Elliot Wolf has mentioned him, but he seems like a very odd fit. Right,
I think this is another sign, if we're following the breadcrumbs, right? Yeah. This is another sign that he might not be in the plans. And, you know,
they draft one today, a receiver today. It's not looking good.
Especially if it's a burner, because Tyquan has no guaranteed money. Those are the two guys we're looking at. Look, you keep them through camp in case somebody gets hurt. You never know, right? But we're more so talking about when we get to cut down day or those guys are those guys' names we'll be talking about.
Yeah, and specifically for Jalen Polk, the one thing that I had him in the third was because he's not like super explosive, or he's not going to take the top off necessarily, and he's not a crazy good yak threat. So, but he was a damn good football player. And I said that in a tweet like 2 weeks ago, and we talked about this last night, Mike. For me, I think what got him from a third round pick to a second round pick and why the league was higher on him was the off-field stuff and the intangibles. And it's one thing if it's two rounds where it's like, yeah, that's a reach, like Tyquan, where people had him in like the fourth and they took him in the second. But if it's one round, that's usually because, one, like you could tell he was a leader on that team. He's tough. Seems like he's the kind of presence that makes everybody around him better. And you nailed the physical skill set, said Alex. Like, this is a guy who isn't super fast, but he's that Jakobi Meyers type where he is tough, he can set the tone, and he's got a little bit more juice than Jakobi. So he still can produce downfield. Like, three of his most successful routes were vertical routes. So I really like the fit. I think he's your day one X receiver right now based on where the depth chart stands, which is great value in the second round. And if you look at the guys who were there, it was A.D. Mitchell, Roman Wilson, Troy Franklin, and Malachi Corley were like the best options, I think, really unanimously when you talked about the second round guys. A.D., we have no idea how they profiled him, although Chris Ballard did push strongly against all the reports on him. So, you know, take that as you will. Roman Wilson went later. Troy Franklin still on the board. And
that's Malachi hilarious.
Didn't fit what they needed. So I think if you look, it's always, you know, I know people are like, oh, you know, they went solid instead of explosive. Where it's like, well, look at what they had. Look who's still on the board. I think they got good value and I like the pick.
Taylor, was it during the regular season, I think we were texting about Jalen Polk and we kind of agreed more explosive Jacoby Myers. That's been my thing on him. I talk about Higgins and Chase. This is an interesting one. Somebody said Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. He may not be the better player, but stylistically, I'd say he reminds me a lot more of Mike Evans than of Chris Godwin. Mike, your thoughts?
No, just as far as it, like, you know, being a reach at, you know, 34/37, as Wolf said that, you know, they kind of had their eyes on him at 34 anyway. And comparing it to like the fall of A.D. Mitchell, where everybody, you know, when day two started, had A.D. Mitchell as the top guy, but then he continued to fall. And, you know, there was clearly something there. And even though Ballard right pushed back on it, but like I look at it as far as if they traded up into the first round and took Jalen Polk over A.D. Mitchell, it would be like, okay, that might not have been the best, you know, the best, I guess, reach and, you know, the best, right, you know, using your resources there. Right. But there was something with A.D. Mitchell, whether it be, you know, the on-field stuff, whether it be the medical, that he just kept falling and falling. And so clearly Jalen Polk was higher on not only the Patriots board, but a lot of other boards than sort of the draft community. And we talk about Taylor, where we both had him as a third round pick. And then it's like he goes in the second round at 37. And then all the analysts come out of the woodworks. And it's like, well, the NFL thought higher than the NFL thought higher than him. Peter Schrager had him in the first round. So I like the pick. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't look at it as a reach. And, you know, over even the last couple hours since it happened, I think I've fallen more in love with the pick. I think it's a really good fit with what they want to do and with Drake May.
And Mina called it last week that Polk wasn't going to be there in the third round. So, like, there were people who, even before it happened, didn't think that he was a third round guy.
Like, most projections had him as a fringe top 50 pick. If we're actually going to do the projections thing, most had him, you know, 50 to 60. So you're talking about a 10 pick reach. But when you had Ricky Pearsall go in the first round, when you had Xavier Leggett go in the first round, Keon Coleman was projected by some people behind Polk and he went 33rd. So again, this goes to the projections are only good until the picks start being made. It's kind of the same with Caden Wallace. We'll get to him. I want to get Brian's thoughts on Polk first, but was he a reach based on the projections? Yes. Was he also arguably the best tackle on the board? Yes. The reason he was projected lower, and there's a couple of reasons, but one is nobody thought he'd be the best tackle on the board. So you just kind of have to play the board as it falls, and the projections are great until there's actual data in front of you. But Brian, you mentioned
Keon Coleman too. There was some reporting out before the draft started that he was sort of their target, right? And I'm sure that when they get to reset their board after Thursday, they have some more time to figure out what they want to do, what their plan of attack is. And Wolf said that before the first round, they had plenty of time. They knew there was only three permutations. On Friday night, there was only two permutations. Either Keon Coleman's there or he's not. So what's the plan at 34? We like Polk here, and we're going to either take him or
turn. I do wonder if the Bills went another direction and Coleman would have been the pick at 34. I do wonder that. But honestly,
I'm okay with it.
Polk might be a better player for them. Brian, sorry, go ahead.
Ryan, no, I mean,
we're burying Brian 8 minutes into the podcast. We've discussed more Joe Milton than we've discussed Brian.
As for the like projection and range, like Peter Schrager, who's very tapped in, had him going in the first round in one of his mocks to the Chiefs. I'm sure the reaction would be a little different if the Chiefs took him. Then it's the steal of the draft, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Jordan Schultz said, like, he was another one of these guys who said, like, the league is higher on him. So I think it was probably right around the right range for him. And I really like the pick. He's not, like, a 4-3 burner. He doesn't have, like, the speed. But he's just a really good football player. And you need as many weapons, you know, even if he's maxes out as a really good number two, elite number two, really good number three. Like, you need as many of these guys as possible. And he's a great fit with Drake May, right? Like good ball skills, great hands, tough over the middle of the field. That's an area Drake May loves to operate in. So I think that's going to be a good pair to kind of build around going forward.
All right, real quick, just name Keon Coleman or Jalen Polk. If they'd both been there at 34, who do you think the Patriots would have taken? Who would you have taken, Taylor?
Yesterday, I probably would have said Keon Coleman just because I think he's got that like ball winner kind of skill set. Yeah. And they're both versatile guys. But, you know, maybe it's just because I'm rethinking it and kind of went deeper into Jalen Polk. They're both high character guys. I think they still would have taken Polk. It sounds like he was really their guy and they had conviction about him. If you'd asked me yesterday, honestly, I probably would have said Keon Coleman, though.
Okay, Mike?
I think if he was there at 34, they would have taken Coleman. I think I like Polk at 37 more than Coleman at 34.
Okay, interesting way to put it.
Yeah, probably would have taken Coleman, though, at 34, realistically.
Brian?
To get back on it.
Yeah, based off the reports, probably they would have gone Coleman, but I like Polk better as a player and kind of a fit here.
So would you have taken Polk at 34?
Yeah, I would have.
Okay. I like that they traded down. I'm kind of with Mike. Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it. I like Polk better at 37.
Yeah, you moved what, 27 spots up today, something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. I think they would have taken Coleman at 34, though. I do. I think that that was the plan, and the Bills jumped them. So these are two guys we're going to compare now a lot, especially being in the division. We're going to see how their careers play against each other.
With those two, I feel like the Tyler Hughes connection may have been the differentiating factor.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's a good point.
They profile very similarly, but they had a guy in the building who was like, this is what this guy does. This is what he brings. So, you know, the reports, they could absolutely be right. I'm sure there was something to those, but that Tyler Hughes thing, I feel like with two guys who do profile similarly might have been the deal breaker.
Taylor, you're an optimist. Jalen Polk, Davante Adams 2.0.
Yeah, let's relax. That's crazy.
Okay.
Davante Adams is one of one. Like, best route runner in the NFL. I'm not doing that to Jalen Polk. But I do think he can be, if he maxes out his ceiling, like a high-end two who just is so efficient. That like, he had 1,000 yards across from Rome Odunze.
Right.
In a
post Jalen McMillan.
And Jalen McMillan. Like, yeah, the guy can clearly compete and he can clearly produce. So
I'm still sticking with more explosive Jacoby Myers. Steve Smith last night said TJ Houshmandzadeh. I think Greg had Jordy Nelson as a comp. So there's a couple out there. Robert Woods. Okay. So he's just name a wide receiver and he's compared to Jalen. And that's usually what happens with these versatile guys. People see what they want to see.
Yep, that's true.
Moving on to the second pick. So the Patriots stay. They go to 68. We're going to have a similar kind of conversation because there's a big run of tackles and they end up with Caden Wallace. Caden Wallace played 47 games in college. He started 40 of them over the last 4 years for Penn State. He was good. Over 1,000 snaps, all 40 starts at right tackle. Now, I'm on the record. You guys know how I feel about this. Elliott Wolf came on after. So, all right, backtrack. It felt like a bit of a reach. Most people thought he was going to go early fourth. But again, he was arguably the best tackle on the board. It was him or Kieran Amedigi who came with some medical red flags. And I don't think the Patriots wanted anything to do with the medicals this year. And that seems to kind of be a trend that if there's any worries about injuries, no, thank you. We'll find somebody else. If you factor that in, there's an argument Wallace was the best tackle on the board unexpectedly, but he was. He had Patrick Paul go as high as he did. Kingsley fell, but obviously went before the Patriots. Blake Fisher went before the Patriots. But part of the reason I think Wallace's value was projected as a day three pick instead of day two, right tackles are inherently less valuable than left tackles. And like I said, 40 starts all at right tackle. But hang on. Elliott Wolf comes on after the pick and tells us they see him as a left tackle. I think if Caden Wallace had played left tackle, I know he did a little bit at the Shrine Bowl, but if he had done it in games, I don't know that he's projected 68, but maybe back end of the third round would have been a more accurate production with his experience, with his athleticism, with his mentality. There's a lot there for teams to like. Now, everybody knows how I am about moving tackles side to side who don't have the experience. I don't like
Marshall Newhouse story traumatized me.
I saw it. I lived it. I was covering the team that
year. That's right. Yeah.
I saw it and I liked Marshall Newhouse. He's a good guy and all that. And he was a good right tackle back in the day, but it worries me. So we'll see, you know, they'll try to coach him up, but I feel like the plan at left tackle now is two right tackles. I like Cade Wallace as a player. to my instant reaction was they're preparing in case they have to kick Michael Nwenu in a right guard. And this is more insurance on Cole Strange. If you have to move City So to the left side, that's what this pick was to me initially. Now we'll see how he works at left tackle, but everybody knows how I feel about that thing.
I will say this, in that Alex Van Pelt scheme, the interior guys pull a lot more than the tackles. The left tackle will pull more than the right because that's just typically more athletic. So I think Mike Nwenu in this scheme is still a better fit at right tackle. I think it's just more about what's going to happen with Cole Strange health-wise. Like, I think he's had very strong ends to the season both years in the league. But the injuries that he had last year, two knee injuries, as we think they are, that is pretty significant. I think City So is a guy that they want to see continue to develop. But if anything, I think Chooks is the plan at left tackle this season. You see if Caden Wallace can, you know, grow into that role. Although I think they are going to cross-train him to play everything.
Well, so let me ask you this, Taylor. They said last night, four-position player. The left tackle thing was kind of highlighted. Mm-hmm. Should Cole Strange be worried about Caden Wallace at left guard? How do you like him there?
I don't think he should be worried necessarily because I still think Cole Strange is a good player. But I think, what did they say? They wanted to shore up the offensive line and create competition. I think they've got five guys right now who can be the starters. But Caden Wallace is a talented player who people said, and like Brandon Thorne and Dane Brugler said, he can be an immediate contributor and can develop into a starter. So, yeah, if somebody's game is slacking, he might go and take your job. And we know that this Alex Van Pelt offense, this Elliott Wolf system, they do like to cross-train these guys to play everything. So if he comes on strong, then, yeah, it creates that competition. And somebody, you know, these guys have to play their best or he's going to be right on their heels. And that versatility, I think, is a big reason why they ended up taking him in the third. That and his experience. Because one thing, like the Patriots have trended older with their offensive linemen the past couple of years. And with how little time these guys actually get to play the position and practice and get live reps, I think teams, I think a lot of smart teams, are valuing that experience because it's like, okay, he knows how to play the position. We're just going to tell him like, yeah, but do this better, X, Y, Z. And then they'll probably be quicker to learn versus guys who haven't really gotten many reps. Also, he was 24, which is a reason I think that.
He's older. 40 starts, 4-year starter, 24 years old. This is a guy. He is a project player in the sense that he's going to be moving positions. But if they needed a right tackle, we'd be talking about him potentially as a day one starter.
And versatility is obviously, great when shit hits the fan. And, you know, you want to be able to move guys in multiple different spots. But at the same time, like, those great Patriots teams in, like, the late 2010s, it was five players, five positions, same position, 17 games, Super Bowl. Like, and so, and I'm not going to take that away from Caden Wallace. But I look at the instant reaction was, is this – And I thought of this on the fly, but like, okay, you sign Kirk Cousins, you draft Michael Penix. You sign Mike Onwenu, you draft Caden Wallace. It's like, what the heck's going on? What's the plan with Mike Onwenu? Why are we doing this? Is he going to move in? You just said he was going to be your right tackle. And then I warmed up to it when I did hear the stuff on Elliott Wolf, and from Elliott Wolf, and they have confidence in him. So, okay, it makes a little bit more sense that they have this plan at left tackle, Okorafor for maybe a year, see what happens there, and then you can move this guy in. But I get what you're saying, Alex, I agree with you, Alex, that the plan at left tackle seems like two right tackles that you feel confident can play there. And it's like, why don't we just get a left tackle to play left tackle? I feel like there's a little bit too much overthinking there. Now, if you're comfortable with it and you think that you can make it happen and it works, all the power to you, and I'll sit here and eat crow. But for now, I like the pick. I feel better about it than it when it originally came out, but I still think that I'd just rather a left tackle play left tackle.
But what left tackle did? But what left tackle would you want them to take other than
Caden? So hang on, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
There, yeah. Okay. It's like we'll the same with Jalen Polk. Like, you can say you wanted the explosive receiver and all that, but it's like, who was on the board and who was actually better than he was? Like, who was a better football player?
Brian, your thoughts on Caden Wallace?
Yeah, it just, you know, you kind of hit on all of it there, but it's just worrisome, like, seeing how he's going to flip over to left tackle. I think we asked him last night, when's the last time he's played it in a game, and he couldn't really remember outside of a few practices at the Shrine Bowl. So you just never know how that transition is going to work. They're confident. They think he's got the, you know, athletic traits. He's a good pass protector, but you just never know how it's going to look until he gets out on the field and actually plays the position. So I'd love, like, we'll get into what they're going to do today. I'd still love like a Javon Foster or a Travis Glover. We've talked so much about that double dip, like actually go get a pure left tackle now to kind of plug into that room. So at least you have that skill set, a guy who's played that position. But They didn't need a tackle, and it was nice to see them at least address it early, I guess.
I also feel like it's important to remember that Caden Wallace probably isn't like taken to be a starter. He's going to get to develop behind the scenes, and then they can see, all right, are we right? Can he play left tackle? He can't. All right, well, now we have a guy who might be able to play right tackle if we decide and when he should kick inside. Or we have a guy who, if Cole Strange isn't playing the way we want, or City So isn't playing the way we want, they can slide him in. And then you get your pure left tackle, like you said, Brian. If you want to get a guy later as more of a developmental option, next year you want to sign somebody to a big deal because you got these young pieces and you're a more intriguing team. Like, this isn't someone who's going in to start. So I think that's another important thing to remember.
And it's a good point. So that's, if you think about it, you take a say you take a guy who you think is going to be your left tackle in the first round. And then he's not that good, and you got to bump him inside. It's like, oh, we wasted our first round pick on a guard. Where when it's 68, there's more, you know, there's more of a, I guess, a better feeling that, okay, but we're going to develop him. We can fit him in where we want.
There's a fine line there, though. Because
tackle at one side. Sorry.
You do want your top 100 players playing as rookies. Like, the plan is to should be to get instant contributors, even if it's rotational. So, you know, the way you described Wallace, I agree, and that's why I thought he was a fourth round pick, because that's usually what you're doing on day three. Let's real quick pause here from our friends at Prize Picks, and then I want to get back into this on Caden Wallace. Oh, that's not it. Hang on. That was so anticlimactic. Amit, are you still in here? Help me.
Now we're all over the place.
I think this is it.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I personally love Prize Picks because they're super easy to use, easy to navigate, and they offer injury insurance, so your entries stay live even if one of your players gets injured. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right. So now that we're, what is it? We don't like this. Nope. There we go. All right. So, you know, we're talking about Caden Wallace. We're bearing the lead here. His brother is an oyster scientist who came on the call last night. That was awesome. If you could be a scientist for any specific animal in marine life, what would it be? I'll start. I'll go penguins. Penguins fascinate me. I think they're hilarious. I would go penguins.
Oh, no, that's the dolphins.
Taylor?
Not to sound like an alpha male, but like alligators. I think it's so cool. Aren't they like the oldest predator or something like that? They're like, they haven't evolved in like.
Are alligators older than sharks?
It's either alligators or crocodiles. I don't know. One of those, whichever one hasn't evolved in like thousands of years. That's crazy to me. So yeah, I would go with that.
Mike.
Marine.
Pizzas are not marine animals, by the way. You're the SpongeBob guy. This should be the easiest.
Starfish.
A sea squirrel.
You do know who started SpongeBob, right? It was a marine biologist.
Yeah.
And it was really supposed to be a show for adults. It was supposed to be an Adult Swim, and then they had to make it for kids. Right. But how do you fumble that question? All right, what's your answer?
A sponge.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Brian.
Starfish.
Yeah. Okay, way to stick to the brand. So we talked about we'll get back to the football now. We talked about Caden Wallace and, you know, the Patriots. Was he a reach? Yes. But also, he's the best tackle on the board. So if you wanted to tackle, it was him or Amedeji. And I think, and I feel free to push back, guys, if you disagree there. I just feel like the Patriots weren't messing with the medicals this year. That's, I think, part of the reason they passed on A.D. Mitchell. Maybe that's why they weren't as high on Amedeji or even trading up for a guy like Kingsley Suamataia, whose name I finally learned how to pronounce right before the Patriots stopped, right before we found out the Patriots weren't going to take him. But if you go to the back end of day three, and I'm trying to pull it up here before the Patriots picked, or sorry, the back end of the second round, you had, and this was all, you know, the Patriots had moved back. They had the ammo. You have a run of Blake Fisher goes 50 or Patrick Paul goes 55th. Blake Fisher goes 59th. Roger Rosengarten goes 62nd. The Chiefs trade up for Kingsley at 63. And then you have Brandon Coleman, who is kind of a hybrid guard tackle, go at 67. The Patriots take Caden Wallace at 68. Are you surprised? Are you upset the Patriots didn't move up, get aggressive, and try to jump into that run? We'll start with Brian this time. Let's go. Let's let Brian go first for once.
I mean, yes. Like, Kingsley was a guy we were mocking at 34, right? So the fact that he slid all the way down into a striking range where you could have moved up from 68 and you just kind of let that pass and then let the Chiefs get him of all people. That was a little disappointing because, you know, that's your pure left tackle. He's got a really intriguing, you know, athletic skill type. So that would have been the move I would have made, try to maybe get a little aggressive and move up for Kingsley there.
To that point, the closest athletic comp for Caden Wallace was
Kingsley.
Yeah.
He actually like tested better in a lot of ways. I think he just had like a quarter of an inch shorter arms. That was it.
I would have liked them to go get Kingsley. It tells you that they have their eyes on him and they go and pounce on it. And like you said, Brian, too, pure left tackle who you're not trying to fudge with anything. And don't get me wrong. I think I can see it every time I say, well, Caden Wallace is really a left tackle. I see Taylor go, he can play. But like, look, I mean, Kingsley's a left tackle. Caden Wallace hasn't played left tackle since elementary school. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I would have liked him to have a little bit more conviction on a guy who can play on the left.
I think once Patrick Paul went where he went at 55, you had to see that run coming. And look, Blake Fisher was the second player in the run at 59. I can kind of see, based on the trend, why they would have been out on Kingsley. I think Blake Fisher, and am I being a little bit of a hypocrite here because he was a right tackle at Notre Dame? Well, he was supposed to be the left tackle before Joe Alt showed up. He had at least some experience in college there. I thought Blake Fisher, and they met with him and they worked with him at the pro day. Mm-hmm. I thought Blake Fisher was the guy. And I wonder if, because he went second in that run, and maybe they were thinking, all right, let's see when Suamataia goes and then we'll play it from there. Let's say Suamataia goes there instead of Blake Fisher. I wonder if the Patriots make the move up. And I wonder if when Blake went, they went, well, that was our guy. Now we're going to wait for Caden Wallace.
And the Patriots reported interest in Blake Fisher happened on the same day as Caden Wallace. And what do they have in common? Elliot Wolf said that the only reason Caden Wallace played on the right side was because Olu was already on the left side. So we have to take that into consideration as well. And again, we're talking about age. They keep drafting these older prospects. Kingsley Suamataia is 21 years old. So we have to think like that might have factored into their decision. We had our boards. I was adamant. I liked Kingsley very much. But at the same time, they clearly have a trend that they like. I just think Caden Wallace makes sense. And this is one where we're not going to know until we actually see how Wallace develops and whether he can't play left tackle. If he can't and Chooks can't play left tackle and they're screwed, then yeah, this is going to look real bad. But if Chooks can play, Caden can develop behind the scenes and then ideally becomes your left tackle of the future. And a lot of people think he's a guy who's going to start like 10 seasons in the league. Then I think this looks pretty good, but obviously it's just speculation now.
Taylor, we talked about it a bunch last night too, how there's a clear focus on character guys for the Patriots in this draft too. And now, look, getting on a Zoom call at, you know, 10:35 on a Friday night and being nice to the media doesn't make you a good football player. Don't get me wrong. But there is a clear, like, okay, they have guys who can be not only great football players, but leaders, you know, old, like you said, older players, leaders of men. And we saw that with not only Drake May on Thursday, but Jalen Polk and Caden Wallace, you know, super, I guess, seem just like high IQ people, like, you know, guys who understand their role, understand, you know, what they want to do and come here and contribute. So they're clearly going for the new culture vibes too with LA Wolf and Mayo.
And the growth potential as well. Like Drake May is a guy who, like Gerard Mayo said, he's still got time to grow, but he's a young player. Jalen Polk, I asked him, what are some areas of your game you need to improve? He gave me a list. The guy went on for like a minute talking about all the things he's working on in his game. And Caden Wallace and all the scouting reports you see, everyone says, and Elliot Wolf mentioned, he made a significant jump in his senior season, despite the fact he was a 24-year-old prospect, where typically you just think those guys are all floor because they've kind of been maxed out. So that growth potential, I think, is important as well. And he mentioned, like, yeah, like Drake May, we got more comfortable throughout the process as we got to know him and his family. He mentioned Caden Wallace's family. Jalen Polk, again, obviously on that Washington team, if he was a leader, and Tyler Hughes saw firsthand what he could bring. To your point, like these culture additions, you can act like they're not important, but in a rebuild where these are guys that you're hoping are the foundation of your offense for the next 10 years, I think these things matter. And if they pan out and they're, you know, the leaders on your team and they're captains in a few years, they're all going to look a lot better. But again, all speculation for right now.
I'm going to throw one more thing in. And Taylor, you kind of touched on it. This doesn't apply to May, obviously, and it wouldn't apply to the third. I'd hope it doesn't apply to third overall pick no matter what. Another thing that Polk and Wallace have in common, they weren't the star. Mm-hmm. Polk was opposite Odunze. Wallace was opposite Fashanu. These are guys that did it without being the center, without being the focal point. And that's a character building thing. You know, that's something where these guys, most of the time you come in the NFL, you're this high heralded prospect. How much attention did Jalen Polk get? How much attention did Caden Wallace get because of who they were playing across of? How are their opportunities limited given, you know, who they were playing across of? Look, I can relate to them a little bit. I had to be an Evan Lazar shadow for 3 years. So I think you add guys like that. These are guys that you the reason I bring this up is, and you have to kind of understand college football and college football nuance in this, in the era of NIL, everybody wants to be the guy. And it's so easy now to jump into the transfer portal and go somewhere where you can be the guy. And neither of these guys did it. Now, Polk did transfer, but that was 3 years ago. He was at Texas Tech for a year and then transferred to Washington. That's different. These guys stayed in their situations, put their head down, grinded. Not a ton of guys like that. And by the way, this is nothing against the guys that transfer to go to better situations. Like, they have the right to do that. But it does sort of speak to that personality trait of, F it all, I'm going to show up and work. I don't really care about the rest of it. I'm going to show up and work. I'm reading too much into that, but another thing I noticed.
And in a way, Drake May, obviously he was the star, but he falls into that category of like, he was getting all these offers. Like, I think he was getting like $5 million offers to go Bama. To other teams. Yeah, Bama wanted him. Like, he could have transferred out of North Carolina when he knew the coaching change was going to happen, when Josh Downs left and he knew they weren't going to have the same supporting cast. He stayed. Now, obviously, that's partially because that was his family school. But also, like, everything you hear from teammates, like, there were some reports about Caleb Williams. There were some reports about Jaden Daniels. Nobody said anything about Drake May being, like, a guy that you might have had, you know, who thought very highly of himself. He was very humble and a guy who seemed like he just wanted to put his head down and work. So, to your point, even though he was the star at UNC, he kind of follows that same thing where he put his head down, he grinded, and just wanted to be a better player and a good teammate for the guys around him. So, yeah, common thread to the first three picks.
Okay, so I said yesterday, I came on here and I said, by drafting Drake May, the Patriots had a good draft. No matter what else they do, they needed a potential franchise quarterback. They got that. And then I said the next 2 days would decide if it's a good draft or a great draft. And I'm still there. They had a good draft. They took Drake May. Okay, about the rest of it. Brian, we'll start with you again. Are the Patriots, they still have 5 more picks to make, so you don't have to finalize it yet, but are the Patriots closer to having a good draft or a great draft after what they did yesterday?
Well, I was great draft with Drake May. All right. But
okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
No, I really
great draft or epic draft. What are they closer to?
I don't know. I really like the Jalen Polk pick. Again, I think he's just gonna be a great fit for what they want to do. And with Drake May, I wasn't as high on the Caden Wallace. Again, it's like you're pure projecting him to the left side, which is worrisome. Maybe it works, but that's worrisome. So I was pretty split yesterday. It didn't really change my opinion too much, but we'll stick at great because Drake May is still here.
I still think it's good with May. I don't think they necessarily elevated it towards that great draft yet. Again, I love the Polk pick, just like everybody here. I think that's really solid at 37, a guy who can grow with May in this offense and, you know, be a leader as well. Caden Wallace, you already heard my stuff on it. So, we'll see how it projects. So they haven't got towards great yet, but still looking solid so far. I like that they hit on QB wide receiver tackle. First time they drafted 3 offensive players.
What a concept.
Yeah, right. Since 2006.
Yeah, since 2006. Don't look up who they took that year, but yes.
Yeah.
They did hit on the big 3, 1, 2, 3.
I don't know if it was like refreshing, but like there were clearly 3 needs and they just hit the 3 needs. Like, how many mocks did we do that they went like quarterback and then receiver or tackle and some combination of rounds 2 or 3? And then it actually happened. Like that was just kind of nice to see.
Yep, for sure.
Taylor, good draft or great draft? What are they trending towards?
Well, I don't want this to be the Taylor show, so I'll keep this real brief.
I'm trying to balance it. No, that's a, I'm the host. I got to drive the bus. I should have varied up starting with that's on me.
I think it's a good draft right now. I think it'll we can see in time if it's a great draft, if these guys develop. But for right now, yeah, I think it's still good.
All right, so we look ahead. They got five picks today. They are this board. Let's pull the board up again here, and I want to try to move that Drake May thing so everybody can just see all of it. Can I even move that? I don't know if I can.
There you go.
There we go. Okay, this is a board that's built to move. Mm-hmm, bunched up picks are a team that's built to move. It's gonna be bang bang at the top of the fourth. Then you know we're gonna write all that up, go out, grab lunch, come back, bang bang again in the sixth, and then they have that one in the seventh. I would be very surprised if they make all these picks where they're scheduled to make them. They may end up making five picks. I think they're going to end up adding one. I think 103 or 110, they're probably going to trade back in one of those spots. But five picks, a lot of flexibility here. They've checked off the big three needs. So now it's kind of the Wild West. I saw, I'm blanking on his name, from the Senior Bowl. The guy who runs Senior Bowl.
Oh, Jim Nagy.
Jim Nagy tweets, hey, today's the Scouts Day. Today's the guy that you have that, you know, the GM, the head coach, they got who they want to fill out the roster. Today's the day the scouts hammer their fist on the table and say, this is my guy. You got to take my guy, right?
Will said that too. Yeah. He's like, it's scouts day. This is when they make their money.
A lot of chance to get creative here. What do you want to see the Patriots do today to move from a good draft to a great draft? Actually, let's start here. Troy Franklin, still on the board. Jatavion Sanders, still on the board. By the way, Tip Raymond going top 100. Well, Troy Franklin is still on the board. Smash mouth. Football is alive and well. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
That was awesome.
To me, we talked about this yesterday with A.D. Mitchell. Somebody knows something I don't about Troy Franklin. I'm out. No, thank you. I'm good on Troy Franklin. Next. Mike, we'll start with you. You scared yet of Troy Franklin?
Oh, yeah, no, I think Troy Franklin, I don't want to do Troy Franklin. I think that, you know, people were talking about him at the top of the second round being at some point there, maybe even sneaking into the back end of a wide or a run on wide receivers. I'm done. I'm with you. There's something out there that we don't understand. So I'll pass on him. I'll take Javon Baker at 103 instead.
It was that gauntlet drill. Everyone watched the gauntlet drill again this morning.
It might be, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. It's not a fit. It's Tyquan 2.0.
Taylor, I know you really liked Troy Franklin. Is the league message getting to you there?
I wouldn't say I really like Troy Franklin. I thought he was better than Tyquan Thornton, who, to be fair, Tyquan was projected to be like a fourth round pick. Right. So I think this would be better value for Troy Franklin. I thought about second round. I was like, hey, if they really want explosiveness, sure. But like we think we talked about this yesterday, he has the same concerns with the lack of size and the small hands. And that's how they kind of play on the field, even though I think Franklin is a better route runner and after the catch. I want Javon Baker, and also somebody put in the chat, Austin Booker, my guy. If he gets taken sometime in the fourth, I'll be very happy. But Javon Baker and Austin Booker are my dream scenarios for this part of the draft. Jatavion Sanders, I think, is better value. I thought second round watching him was kind of weird, considering like he's not super dynamic in terms of like his movement ability, although he is explosive. But with Drake May thriving on crossers and down the seams, that's where Jatavion Sanders makes his money. Yeah. So that'd be an interesting one too. Although he's just an okay blocker, so I think it'd be kind of an odd fit in Van Pelt's scheme.
Sanders is fall. I think it was Brett Coleman. He tweeted something and he kind of hinted that there were some like behind the scenes concerns, maybe like character concerns with Sanders. Okay. So if we're following the kind of the trend here, that would probably take him off the Patriots board here.
I got to be consistent. I like Sanders, but I got to be consistent. I said, when the league tells me something, I listen. They're telling me something about Troy Franklin. They're telling
Alex,
me something
you talk about
Javion
going again.
Sanders.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you talk about that, you know, the quick bunched up picks and then the break to go get lunch, there's no way they don't pick for 70 picks. They're going to try.
I don't think so either. I think that somebody just threw in there, right? Javon Baker and Austin Booker. Pick one. I think they're moving down. And Taylor, what are you all giddy about?
If they get one of them, I'll be so happy. I've been consistent. Those are my guys. So if they get at least one, if they get two, I'm freaking out.
I'll say this though. I do not rule out defense here. No, you know, they hammered offense at the start, but collaborative effort. You want to keep the defensive coaches happy. They do have needs on defense. Let's not forget that. They do have needs on defense both this year and next year. Their whole defensive front is on expiring contracts. The defensive line, the edge guys. So maybe that's Austin Booker. Maybe that's it's my guy, Mo Kamara from Colorado State. Maybe that's a guy like Jeremiah Trotter who fell. They add to the linebacker room. Chris Abrams-Drain is still on the board. There's a lot of really good defensive talent. I know a lot of people talked about TJ Tampa. He was projected to be a top 50 pick. He fell. I just don't love him for the Patriots. I don't see how he gets on the field. Really stiff. Like, you have your bigger, and Gonzalez isn't stiff, but like, you have the guy you're going to put on the big receivers. Gonzalez is going to take the guys that Tampa's going to take. He's going to cover them differently, but he's going to take those guys. A guy like Chris Abrams-Drain, who's more of a hybrid corner, is the guy I'd rather, if you're going to take TJ Tampa, just do the move down back into the fifth and take Cam Hart at that point. Running back is an option too. Jalen Wright's still there. There's a lot of different ways they can go here, but I do think a trade.
Where did Blake Corum go again?
The Rams?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
They were like, it was like four Michigan guys and five picks or something.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'll give you two more. I know you're happy about that, Alex.
Yeah, well, yeah, top 100. Good for him after breaking his leg that he still goes up there.
Can I ask, after the Polk pick, does that maybe swing your opinion on Tez Walker here in the fourth round?
Oh, that's true. Tez Walker's still on the board. Yeah, Taylor's been adamantly against that. Yeah,
even after Polk?
What are we talking about? Character and all that stuff and like versatility. Tez is a one-trick pony, and he doesn't handle physicality well. And again, on the film, there were so many times where I'm just like, dude, you are not that guy to be like throwing your hands up and like throwing a tantrum because Drake May missed you. Like, miss me with that. No, I'm sorry. I feel mean because I don't like dunking on prospects or anything, and I'm not trying to do that. But yeah, no, I do not like Tez Walker for this team.
I'm going to give you guys two names. Taylor, we'll start with you. Braylon Allen, Sione Vaki.
Sione Vaki, I like in the fifth. If they take him in the fourth, I'll be a little disappointed.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say the trade's not there. And this goes back to what they did last night. You got to take the guys where you can take them. If they get to 110, they can't move out of the pick. They think they're moving down for Sione Vaki, but they can't move down.
I think that'll be another reach. And I'll stay consistent with this. But that said, I like him in like a Miles Bryan style role where he's like a zone slot corner, has the versatility to play the safety spots as well. Mostly, I think he's exciting as a change of pace kind of running back. He had some, I thought he was just going to be okay and kind of overhyped. And watching the plays, I was like, no, he's got some actual juice offensively. So that versatility might bump them up and him up on their board. Again, I still like him in the fifth, but you know, I won't be upset. I do like him as a player.
Take back at 110. You get a running back out of him too.
Brian, Braylon Allen?
Yes.
Oh, he's ready to go.
Awesome. Yes. I love Braylon Allen.
Some more day three thoughts. Patriots take quarterback today?
I don't think so.
No.
Too many other needs.
They just provide it. Zappy's their third if they need it. He, as much as everyone, you know, gets on him for the Instagram videos and working up with like KB and those guys, I think Bailey Zappe understands what he is on this team, and it's going to be the third quarterback here. I don't know if he makes the team, but I think they're comfortable with him being that camp arm, that camp body.
So the last Jalen
Polk already followed Nathan Rourke too. Don't sleep out Nathan Rourke.
the last couple of years, the Patriots have made a point of having one of those more athletic quarterbacks in camp, even just to practice against. If a guy like Jason Bean at 231, maybe, but I think that's coming as a UDFA. Do they take, Brian, brace yourself, do they take a kicker today?
No. That wouldn't shock me. You just light a little bit of a fire under Ryland. Sorry, Brian, he's your boy, but
I think that message is more effective though if it's a veteran.
That's fair.
I think they should bring a kicker in, but I think it's a free agent. I don't think they draft a kicker. Yes, we all love Harrison Mevis. Taylor learned who Harrison Mevis was last week on the show. He was very excited. I don't blame him.
I love
him. Absolute dog, the thicker kicker. I don't think they take a kicker today. All right, as we wrap it up here, any other non-Patriots thoughts from day two? A couple things that stood out to me, where I talked about Tip Raymond. Tavondre Sweat going 38th.
Yeah.
So
to Tennessee,
a player.
Right?
Yeah, to Tennessee. They're getting a player.
Put him in Nashville, baby.
We'll see what ends up happening, but they're getting a player. You know, we saw some other surprise guys fall. No quarterbacks. Yep. I thought maybe Spencer Rattler with the run early would sneak in. Yeah. We talked a little bit about A.D. Mitchell's fall. If that thing works, you have Anthony Richardson throwing to Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, A.D. Mitchell, Alec Pierce, Jonathan Taylor in the background, in the backfield. I do wonder, they have an early pick today. Are they a Jatavion Sanders team? You add him to that mix. The Colts could be a ton of fun. I told you all about Patrick Paul, second round. Mike Sainer still to Washington is a fantastic fit. Love that.
I would have liked him for the Pats on round three.
Yeah, so now that we have a couple rounds in, Taylor, I think you feel strongly about this. We'll start with you. Now that we're a couple rounds in, which team are you looking at? And you're like, okay, yeah, they're cooking something over there.
The Commanders are doing a really good job. Now, I thought Luke McCaffrey was more of like a day three guy. But hey, if you like him, take him, whatever. That's my only grievance. Love Brandon Coleman. Love Ben Sinnott. Sinnott, whatever, however you say his name.
Sinnott,
Mike Sanders still and Johnny Newton. Like, they're doing a free agency. It felt like they were kind of just getting anybody they could. I wasn't really sure what their plan was. The draft, I think they're doing a very, very good job.
Am I allowed to still say the Bears with Caleb Rome and now Kieran Emegaji? I liked Emegaji. I would have taken the swing on him as a left tackle prospect too. So I like that they got that.
Did you see they found – so guys will, come on and be like, oh, yeah, I grew up a fan of this team. And it's like you don't know really how much they meant it. And then somebody found a bunch of old tweets from Kieran Emegaji. Yeah. He's like, I hate the Bears. Not like not he's not a fan, but he was like, what is this play calling? What are they doing?
Yeah. Trash suffering. Trashing on their offensive tackles too. He's like, these guys can't block.
That's which awesome. I'm sure that tweet won't get brought back up if he struggles, but I loved that. You
can. I also like the Rams. I like what the Rams have done. Jared Verse, Brandon Fisk, and Cameron Kitchens too.
So Brandon Fisk is a great reload, right? After losing, he's not going to be Aaron Donald, but you get a guy who can play in that spot. They also added Blake Corum, Blake Corum in that zone running system is going to feast.
With Kyron Williams, great 1-2 punch.
You mentioned Cam Kitchens there. So last year, there was a player that had a terrible combine that fell down everybody's boards, and the Rams took him anyway because they saw past the initial testing. They used like the next-gen testing to be like, no, we actually believe in this player. That was Puka Nacua, right? What have I been saying about Cam Kitchens? The combine numbers are lying. He's a much better athlete than that. To see him go to the Rams, I feel a little justified. Like, they identify these guys. Here we go. The Rams are doing a fantastic job. I got to still say the Falcons. I think they're having a great draft. Brian, you got anybody?
Well, I love, the Eagles. I love the Quinion Mitchell pick. And then they move up and they get Cooper DeJean, bolster that great secondary. Fit. And then the Lions, they needed corners. They got Terrion Arnold was a great pick in round one. And then they move up. I think they moved up for and got Ennis Rakestraw yesterday. So, just two top NFC teams that had holes in the secondary. And, they just patched those holes pretty quickly here. So, I thought those two guys were good throughout so far.
I think, too, shout out CLNS legend Trags. I think the Bengals are having a nice draft. Chris Jenkins is going to be a good fit there. They got Jermaine Burton, who, can play. He'll be good with Joe Burrow. They're maximizing that. Anybody you're questioning what they're doing? You're scratching your head. And I think everybody knows who mine's going to be, and it's the Buffalo Bills. How do you give a bag to Ed Oliver? And I like Dwayne Carter. I like him a lot. How do you give a bag to Ed Oliver and then take Dwayne Carter with the top 100 pick? He's not going to play.
For that what it's worth, Mike Prohasta did think, and I kind of agree, they needed depth on the defensive line. They're very thin. I also don't think they're going to – I think Dwayne Carter's probably going to be more of a nose type in their system. So I don't think there's a lot of overlap. But, if you look, they barely have a starting defensive line. I think they probably should get an edge as well. I think they've got just one starter there.
Well, they need everything. They had to add Cole Bishop because they lost, and I think they overdrafted Cole Bishop, but they had to add Cole Bishop because they lost Hyde and Poyer.
I feel like the Browns haven't done really anything to help them. I know they don't have money picks because of the Watson trade. I think they didn't have a first because of that this year, if I'm not wrong. But Michael Hall Jr. on the defensive line, okay. And then you draft Zach Zinter, who's not going to play this year. So, that's a developmental pick. It's fine, but there's really no splashes in Cleveland yet.
I'm not counting Penix. The Falcons, the rest of their draft is just, they traded up and they took – I don't know how to say it, Ruka Aurora from Clemson, like over Johnny Newton. I thought that was kind of a weird pick to trade up for too. So I don't know. The Falcons are falconing so far.
Well, they did get Braylon Trice in the third round, which I think is a great pick. He could end up being, they've needed an edge presence. And I think Trice fell. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah. I think he kind of like forgives the Penix pick a little bit, because it's like sometimes the board's even out where it's like, all right, one guy you may have reached, but then you get great value somewhere else, like a classic Patriots in their prime type of draft. So that definitely did help them a little bit.
All right, let's anything else from day two or looking ahead to day three?
Let's Where's load Torrey up. Taylor
go? Where does Torrey Taylor go?
Pittsburgh.
100. Pittsburgh sounds right.
We'll reset the board here real quick. So Taylor's top five left: Javon Baker, Troy Franklin, Austin Booker, Cade Stover, Brandon Dorlas sneaking on there.
I thought you didn't like Troy Franklin.
I didn't like him in the second. I didn't like I thought he was kind of a weird value in the second. But like again, Tyquan Thorne was supposed to be a fourth round pick. A lot of people were saying Troy Franklin was a day two guy. So if you get him in the fourth round and you want that, like everyone's complaining about they don't have enough speed. If you want it, then yeah, go get it. But again, I would rather have Javon Baker.
What do you call a house before it's built?
Foundation.
It's doorless.
Oh.
I stole that one from Tony Maz. Mike's top five on the board here. I'll take a look at that too. Javon Baker, Jatavion Sanders, Cam Hart, Brendan Rice, Tez Walker. So looking for them to go. I think they're going to go defensive running back. I think they're finally going to make the pick that nobody wants them to make here. And I think they've earned the right to do it. Again, quarterback, receiver, tackle. They hit on the big three. So, any last thoughts here? Johnny Wilson. Anybody in on Johnny Wilson? We got a Johnny Wilson in the chat. He's still here.
I wouldn't mind.
Why not?
Take a shot. I mean, at this point, it's upside picks. Go take shots. Try and build.
There's a ton of overlap with Jalen Polk, I think, in terms of.
I would like more explosiveness, but Johnny Wilson is much better than he's gotten credit for. Like the inconsistencies are why I think he's slipping, because he does have some bad drops. It's kind of like Javon Baker, where it's like, yeah, you could be an awesome player, but you need to patch some things up. But yeah, I like him, but there is overlap for sure.
All right, Taylor and Mike will be on here, CLNS Media YouTube channel, CLNS.com. You check them out throughout round three. Brian will have coverage for Pat's Pulpit. I'll have 98.5thesportshub.com throughout the day. I might pop in too with Big Jim Murray and Chris Gasper. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what the Patriots do. And then we'll have our draft class. Then we're on to UDFAs, baby. UDFA season, day four, as I like to call it, because it used to happen Malik on Cunningham Day. Now it happens immediately after draft. Malik Cunningham Day. What else? Who else? They haven't had a ton of like super notable UDFAs the last few years.
Brendan Schooler.
Brendan Schooler Day, sure. Why can't I think of his name? The kicker for who is the kicker from Michigan?
Quinn Nordine
Day. Yeah. Quinn Nordine, 10 for 10 in stadium practice. Never forget. Bob Means going to be Patriot.
Sure. Honestly, if both the receivers coaches got their guys, that'd be pretty sick. I would be.
All right, so that'll do it for us here. For Taylor Kyles, for Mike Cadlick, for Brian Hines, I am Alex Barth.
You did it.
Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the draft, everybody. I don't know. Pat's Daily, you guys probably have a show tomorrow, right? Patriots beat. We'll be back either tomorrow, maybe Monday, depending on how it works out, to recap the rest of the Patriots draft. So I'll talk to you then. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Enjoy the day. But real quick, here, I know we got Art out. I'm trying to wrap this up, but we got the Red Sox at 4. We got, I think it's the Celtics at 6, right? Bruins at 8. Lionel Messi is going to be in Foxborough to play the Revs at 7:30. It's going to be might be 70 degrees out today. I'm not going to ask you guys to predict the weather.
You say it's 70 degrees, like we're going to be able to go outside at any point today.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you don't run outside and cheer when the draft's done? This is for me like last day of school, baby. Summer vacation. And it's already, it's 58, not 68.
Alex Rivers like, what the hell is this guy doing?
give me Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Messi picks. Go. Real, just give me the team.
Boston Parlay.
Here, we'll do this. Red Sox, Taylor, go. Red Sox, win or lose?
I don't want win.
Yeah, you clearly don't watch the Red Sox. Mike.
I'll just take the win. Woo Sox, baby.
Lose.
Yeah, I'm going lose. Celtics, go, Taylor.
Celtics.
W, win.
Win. Brian,
I think Celtics win big. Bruins, Taylor, go.
Bruins. I'm all Boston, baby.
I'll take the Bees, too. What am I going to say? They're going to lose? I know Brian's going to take a win, right?
They're winning tonight.
I think
even if it's Allmark, they're winning tonight.
That's a 7-game series through and through.
Who's in net? Quick, who's in net, Brian?
Allmark. It's going to be Allmark.
I think it's Allmark.
So do I.
Me too. And then do the Revs knock off Messi? The 28 plays Revs knock off Messi.
Is Messi even playing?
Supposedly. I think he's only going to play like a half, but supposedly.
I thought he can't play on like a turf field or something.
He's been doing it. I think they're paying him more money to do it.
Makes sense.
Taylor, do Revs knock off Messi?
Extra pub subs.
Yeah. Of course Mike? They do.
Yeah, of course. Boston Parlay.
Brian?
No, it's Messi. Get out of here.
This is the Revs Super Bowl. That place is going to be banged out. I think they jump on it. I think the Revs win. All right. That'll actually do it. We'll talk to you guys after the draft. Bye.
See ya.